Hello, and welcome once again to the Super Legend Podcast. I am your host, Frankie Dalmain, and I'm here once again with Mr. Eric Vegas. And yes, we are going to start to talk some shit about some shit. And what is the shit that we're going to start with today?
Well, as you know, I usually like to, check out the music news, and so I scroll up to the music news here, and I'm affronted by this photo. Now, don't you think somebody should Photoshop that photo into something a little more risque?
Lord, don't worry. That's definitely going to go there. That's like the next step, right? Yeah.
Somebody's got it. I'm not the only pervert that can see that, right?
Oh, my God. It's just for people at home that don't know, it's Taylor Swift with her mouth wide open and
about
a microphone.
About to chew
down on a microphone. You can only imagine what that looks like. Someone I'm sure will be doing that shortly. But what I'm more offended by is what is the actual title of it?
Taylor Swift's reputation is Grammy's biggest snub. Swift's 6th LP was the biggest selling and most divisive album of 2017 and 2018. Well, they spell out the problem right there. 2017 and 2018. It's last year.
It's not
supposed to be for this year, right? So, they're just generating some sort of bullshit.
Yeah, and also divisive. Divisive to who? You know, what? The four people in the Rolling Stone
office?
No,
people who enjoy music.
People who like music, period.
Divided them from their headphones. I don't know why I say I don't have any problem with her. I'd rather have her at the top of the charts than some known gang member.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, who's the Skittles queen, who's actually going to be going to jail for his stupidity with face tattoos and stuff. George Strait got a new record coming out. Nobody cares.
Perfect for the 70-year-olds.
Moving on, let's see. Fleetwood Mac's Lindsey Buckingham settles a lawsuit over dismissal. From the band?
Yeah, did you
look
into that?
That's weird, no.
There's a little piece in there that says that the whole impetus of this squabble is there was some sort of award show or something, and Stevie Nicks felt that Lindsey Buckingham smirked during her remarks. And so the next day, she's like on the phone with Irving Azoff, like, I can't work with him, I don't want to see him ever again, for a smirk,
Oh my God. That's just ridiculous.
Well, that's what the story is. You know, it's probably a million other things, and not the least of which is, she gets his share of the money probably once he's gone. They pay those other two guys probably a very small portion of what Lindsey Buckingham would get, and so she gets more money. Unless he has a deal like Bunny Carlos, then he won't get his share of the touring money.
Kanye West is back to saying whatever it takes to get your attention. All right, I'll skip that. Any comments on George Bush Sr.'s death, other than goodbye and good riddance?
Goodbye and good riddance. It's funny how, time heals all wounds, and, here we are canonizing George Bush Sr. When he was just as much of a warmonger and started just as much shit as anybody else.
Yeah.
Although I guess in his credit, at least he went and got 29 other countries to buy into the bloodshed that he caused.
Conned everybody else into it. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm against, as Groucho Marx. I'm against it. I'm against all of them. I'm against Trump. I'm against Bush. I'm against Obama.
They're all complicit.
In
this fucked up warmongering cabal that has been created years before they got to it.
Hillary Clinton is the biggest warmonger of them all, and she's a Democrat, so I don't know how you figure out that shit.
Yeah, no shit. She was one of the worst. And I remember when people were like, vote for her, and I'm like, why? I'm going to vote for another person that just wants to start shit tons of wars. No, thank you. I will vote for the ice cream man on the corner because at least he's benevolent.
Yeah.
That's so. But then again, he's not going to win, so why throw your vote away?
But, we had that shooting here not too long ago at the Borderline Bar and Grill.
I remember that.
It was some veteran, obviously suffering from PTSD.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they kind of told his story, and he's like, at 18 years old, they send him to fucking Afghanistan, and he's does two tours there, and all that kind of bloodshed and that kind of bullshit.
What do you expect going to happen when he comes back to civilization?
Exactly. And I'm like, if you want to stop these shootings and all this bullshit, stop sending literally kids over to these wars that nobody even knows why they're being fought, and it's so convoluted and so confusing. Nobody even knows what America's best interests are there. You just got to bring those. You just don't send those kids there. Bring those people home.
I mean, there's no reason. You're
fucking up too many kids permanently forever for their entire lives. And you know, a guy like that is.
Not to mention other people's lives and families. And I mean, it's a domino effect. And on top of it, it's like we, in this modern era in 2018, there is no reason that there should be anybody on the ground fighting a war. We have drones. We have multiple ways to deal with whatever issues are at hand. Yeah, it's pathetic. But let's go back to talking shit about crappy musicians. Yeah, so Tekashi 6ix9ine going to jail for a lot of charges with gang-related activities, which he's always been a gang member, and they just bankrolled his music career, basically, from
drug
money.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't care about that.
I guess I don't either.
We're too old for that. I really want to hear more about all the shit-stirring that you were doing by reviewing these albums that are sort of in our bailiwick.
The Struts and Greta Van Fleet.
I'm not that aware of... Obviously, I'm aware of who they are. I haven't heard Greta Van Fleet. They're from Michigan, though, so they should be from a really small town
in Michigan.
And apparently. The Struts, I actually bought the first Struts album. I like a couple of those singles off that first album. The album as a whole was kind of disappointing, and I never really ended up listening to it that much. I, as much as anybody, got caught up in the hype of like, oh, a new rock band? I want to support new rock music. I guess I'll buy this.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't really what I'd hoped for. I guess it was good enough that I kept my eye out for their new album, but then that showed up and I didn't like any of the new songs on there, so I didn't buy it or anything. I guess I'm out on the Struts after...
I mean, they just did a recent tour with Foo Fighters, and...
That in itself is sad, I think. You know? No, it is. I mean, that's another indicator of how sad it is for rock music.
Well, I think the music industry doesn't care about it, and most bands who play rock music don't care about it either. They just want to be something else, you know? It's like most rock bands now that form are like, well, let's be the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And then they'll just wear the Rolling Stones clothes and do the riffs.
Here's a band that I like.
It just gets...
Who cares? I got the Rolling Stones. I was going to ask you, is there any new band, rock band that you do like? There is one for me. I do like, and I have gone to see... Ghost.
There are a lot of people like
Ghost. They're not really... They're about what you would expect from rock music. They're a slightly new twist on the same old shit. I'm not going to say they're reinventing it, because you can't reinvent it at this time. It's like heavy metal with kind of a proggy twist to it, and... also pop melodies.
It's hyper melodic, though.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's really catchy.
Which you would expect from someone from Sweden, I think,
You know, I listen to new music all the time, actually. I listen to probably more new music than almost anybody I know, because I go to YouTube and listen to stuff. I just don't talk about a lot of it, because none of it's worth talking about. Mm. I mean, it's like, and then if I find a song I like, whether it's a hip-hop song or a rock song or anything, I'll just post it on my Facebook, without any attachment to it, because I don't want to define what I think people are going to like it, they're not going to like, so mm-hmm. I just put it up there and people
so
like
what
it,
is
like it.
What is there anything any new rock music that you did
yeah
enjoy?
I mean of course there's always new rock songs I like, probably not full albums or bands, and all of it once again with this kind of stuff is subjective too, because the past is very easy to litigate, to navigate through. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for all of us to agree on the New York Dolls and Aerosmith,
Michael Stanley band.
We can agree that they suck. But it's like it's easy to agree on the past stuff. It's the present stuff. Unfortunately, there isn't anything to agree on. I mean, everybody kind of gets lost in their own narrative. So for me, stuff I've liked, there's a band called Wild Daughter that did a song called Get Gone that I really like. There's a band called Tangerines that did a song called Peckham Boys that I really like. Have I tried to sell anybody on those songs? Not really, because I just don't think... I don't know. I mean, I think they're good enough songs to where anybody would like them, but I think that we live in a world where people have already decided what they like so much or how they like it that they're already willing to dismiss it before they listen to it, So, I don't know. That's why I do listen to new music, and I do reviews of it, for my own personal needs and stuff, because I want to clarify my own definitions in my mind about what it is I value and what it is I don't value. But I just don't either accept or dismiss something just based on its aesthetic value, which is what I think 98% of people who listen to music do. They say, oh, that just sounds like this, and I don't want to hear it. They're not listening to the content, they're listening to the aesthetic of it, So that's why I just don't try to sell anything to people anymore. I'm like, it's better to just, or easier just to wait two or three years and then say, oh, this thing came out 3 years ago. And then they're like, it did? How come I missed it? You know, it's like, because they're not, I think a lot of people aren't prepared to have a relationship something with something presently, because you have to embarrass yourself in order to do that.
Well,
you know, in many ways.
But I remember, you know, back when I was growing up and getting into new music, that was one of the things that you definitely wanted to do, is you wanted to be the first one to hear it and be like, yeah, I discovered Cheap Trick or whatever, you know,
yeah.
and propagate that throughout your social group by, you know,
I think that still happens.
Cassette or something.
I think it still happens, but it only happens in like hip hop and pop music. I don't think people care, because rock music is kind of goes back to what you're saying. It may be at the point that it's just you can't do anything new with that formula. And so if anyone tried to convince you of something in this day and age, it's like, well, you know, here's something that's good enough.
Yeah.
But is it life changing?
Well,
you know,
and most of you know what is rock music today is just an emulation of something in the past.
True. You know, and also a lot of it for me too is that I'm really deep into it. I've been in bands for years. I write my own music. I have plenty of friends who are in bands who write their own music. And I get stuff from people all the time that they give me that they make that I'm like, this is pretty cool. I like this, you know. And so I just don't have to go, you know, the Billboard pop chart to find the latest rock band. But I've got friends who are in the latest rock band who I can just listen to.
Anyway, let's get back to something more amusing. Linda Perry's Grammy nomination is a win for all women producers and engineers. Do you remember that we opened for Linda Perry in
Pittsburgh? Yeah.
Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
No, it was Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay. It was right outside of Baltimore at that Roadhouse Bar. It was like a roadhouse. It was like right out in the middle of nowhere. It was on the outskirts of Baltimore.
Yeah,
city from
now,
the venue.
I remember that show. I mean, well, yeah. No, I don't remember that show. But I remember we had some sort of interaction with her. I don't remember what it was, though. Do you remember what it was?
We talked to her briefly.
I mean, she was definitely not hot shit at that moment.
No.
She was just off of Four Non Blondes, like, breaking up or something, and she was not the mega producer that she is now.
She was working on, I believe she was working on the Pink record when
what was our interaction? I know that we discussed or had some sort of interaction with her. I just don't remember what it was.
I think we talked about Janice Tanaka probably in L7.
Oh.
Because we had just done that L7 tour and she knew them and she knew Janice Tanaka from the Bay Area.
Okay.
And I remember we brought her up, which is funny because I've had further connections with Janice Tanaka when I moved to LA. One of my guys I worked with that I'm friends with still, Eric Mead, he dated Janice for
now
years.
The strange thing, she is not part of this most recent L7 incarnation.
No, she is not. I don't know, I mean, why or why not. But yeah, so Linda Perry, we had that kind of interaction with her, but I remember talking to her, I think it was her guitar player, her roadie, maybe even her manager, whoever was with her, and her handler, and he was telling me she's about to launch this career as a producer, you know, working on this Pink record, and we think it's going to be a big thing for her and stuff like that. And how little do we know how big it actually became, because she went on to do everybody after that.
Right.
I mean, she
you're right, though. I think our... Yeah, it was talking about Janice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe
that was
she even in her band or something? Or did we... I don't know. I don't know. I think that...
It's possible. Because she did a Christina Aguilera record.
Yeah.
She did everybody after that.
She's huge.
So I guess that Grammy win probably is good for her. I don't know why it's good for women, other than a woman won it. I'm sure somewhere in the article, explain it to us. Will a woman explain the thing to me?
Here's another one. Bruce Springsteen releases the Roxy 1975 live album. So now here's another guy that's getting into 20s and 30s of live albums released. In fact, I noticed he has a website where you can get probably virtually every gig that he's ever done. You know, they record them. And I noticed that the show that we went to at the United Center in Chicago is available.
Oh, okay.
And I
listened to the boring parts?
Yes. I listened to it a little bit just to see if I didn't recognize any of it. You know, they're all a blur at this point.
Yeah.
But the one thing I noticed is he did open with a song, and I don't even know what it was. It was a song that I was not aware of. Like, maybe a song that's not even on an album. Definitely not, you know, Thunder Road or something that you would expect.
Yeah. All I remember is my favorite part of that show is walking out when we were riffing. What do you guys think of the show? And we're like, fuck, he didn't play Hurt So Good, dude. And they went, what? He didn't play Jack and Diane. He didn't play Night Moves. And we were just, like, riffing. And people, I just remember Springsteen fans around us just fucking... just wanted to burn holes into the back of our head because we were having so much fun making fun of the whole Americana.
It was a good show.
Oh, it was a great show. I mean, Springsteen is still the only performer I've seen in an arena who turned that arena into a fucking living room, mm-hmm. into his own personal nightclub. It was so
And
striking.
I don't know if you remember, but we were literally in the last row.
We were in the nosebleeds.
We were in the absolute last.
I could have been in the front row.
Yeah. And
I mean,
it was amazing to see him turn that whole unit. That was the best part of it for me, like you just said.
Oh, yeah.
From our vantage point in the absolute back, seeing him turn that whole United Center into, I don't know.
Into a small club.
Well, I don't know. To me, it was like a Nuremberg rally or something. You know, people were definitely going nuts and nuts for
Well,
him,
he's got a hardcore fan base. His fan base is huge. Any artist would dream to have a fan base that dedicated. I mean, I guess Kiss can say their fan base is probably even more dedicated than Bruce's.
I imagine if Bruce were to do a Bruce cruise, you could probably get 50,000 people on that cruise.
You're right. What Bruce should do. Bruce should do the Bruce cruise.
Well, he sort of already did this in the Broadway show where he'd sit around and talk and play an acoustic guitar.
I didn't know about that.
You didn't know about that?
No, he did some Broadway show thing.
Oh yeah, he's doing it right now. I think maybe it just ended, but
okay.
Yeah, basically based on his book.
Oh,
yeah, which is a good book.
Okay. Yeah, which I heard is a great book.
Yeah,
he
tells some stuff from the, maybe he reads it, I don't know exactly. I think he has actually just released a record of it, and there's going to be a Netflix special presentation of it that's released in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, cool, I'll get to watch that then. That's cool. No, I mean, I'm definitely a fan of Springsteen. I've obviously had some contentious relationships with him over the years. You know, as you do go up and down with artists, I think you appreciate, and you can get sick of them after a certain period, and then you can kind of see why their detractors dislike them, and then you go back to, well, I don't care, I like this, and bounce back and forth with. He's definitely somebody I bounce back and forth with. He's one of the few artists that I will actually listen to his most recent release to hear what he's done.
Give it a chance.
Yeah, give it a chance, because even at the end of the day, if I don't like the record, at least I feel like the guy is present. He's there in the year he's making the record, you know? And I don't mean that by, like, he's using all the technological, you know, recent doodads and stuff, you know, like, obviously Springsteen's not making a mumble rap record, although he could be keyed in as an influence for mumble rapping, because he does kind of mumble.
Precursor.
Yeah, precursor to mumble rap, Bruce Springsteen. Let's talk about But he, you know, but I listened to his last, I think the last record was High Hopes, right? That was didn't feel like it was him trying to repeat anything he'd done before. Right. He was just continuing
he's doing where he's at right now.
You know, not a lot of artists can say that. You know, I think Neil Young can say that. I think Springsteen can say it.
Is it really fair to ask 61-year-old men to reinvent themselves and always be pushing the envelope? And, you know, pretty soon, can't you just be satisfied with them being the best version of themselves that they can be? In most work ventures, you aren't asking 60-year-old people to be out there on the bleeding edge.
At that point, you should have gotten to the upper echelons of relaxation, basically.
Or management.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, where you
being
can...
Being a CEO and instructing other people how to do, you know...
Which is kind of, I guess, if you look at it, kind of how older artists are, you know, exist, you know. It's like they show you the way. They show you how things can be done, and, you know, new artists come in and do it. But also, we shouldn't expect teenagers to listen to 61-year-old music either, you know. It's like, so, obviously, that's why it's easier for us to talk about it.
Well, you've made a good point. As long as somebody's present and, like, doing, and not, you know, like, not... for rock music, like, you know, not doing some sort of sha-na-na, you know, pastiche of previous stuff. Like Ian Hunter. You know, Ian Hunter is definitely not cutting any new ground. But I appreciate his records because, I don't know, he's authentic and he's present. And that's all I require of an old person.
Just be authentic and present.
Yeah.
And stay out of my way. What do people want? What do I want? What does anybody want? You know, it's like, do we want somebody to be progressive? Do we want them to just be the same? Do we want them to go away and die? You know, and after a certain point, get chopped up in a meat grinder and you can't make music past 40 or something. I mean, because there's distinctively valid, you know, opinions for all of those things, you know. I mean, I know people who literally believe, like, somebody like my age, for instance, shouldn't have any business talking about anybody younger because I had my chance to, like, make it happen for myself, and as if, like, I was on some sort of, like, journey to make it, quote-unquote, or something, which is silly. You know, some of us got into music not because I wanted to, you know, I had a goal in mind. I didn't like, when I was 15, I didn't wake up one day and be like, okay, I want to have a gold record, and I want to be on MTV, and I want to, you know, do this and that. I mean, I think you and I always talked about how, you know, if that stuff happened, wouldn't it be groovy? But at the end of the day, I just want to make music that reflects my inner personality and my inner desires to express myself, you know, so...
Well, this is getting awfully ponderous.
Chinsamina. See, Ice Cube performed the new Funkadelic with Roots on Fallon. That,
and it is basically just aping Funkadelic. So why are you doing that? You know, that's, it's like a cash play, you know?
Yeah, of course. Well, he ain't got no ideas.
That's my favorite English band now, Cash Play.
Cash Play.
What's his name at the beginning of it?
Bono wants his charity to be the NRA for the world's poor.
Does that mean shooting them?
Yes. Let's see, the last word, Patti Smith, I'm performing with her kids.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, don't.
You know, as pathetic as that is, can you imagine being her kids and doing that?
Talk about pissing in the river.
Remembering Buzzcocks, Pete Shelley, you and I spoke about Pete Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw the Buzzcocks, did you?
Twice.
Oh, you did?
You saw them, too.
Oh, at the Inland Invasion, right? Yep. That was pretty good.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the Buzzcocks were great then, but I saw them in 19... Actually, my friend Kenny reminded me of this, that... I reminded him that we... You know, I said... After he died, I said on Facebook, like, well, I'll never forget our experience seeing the Buzzcocks in 1991, when I first saw them, when they first started to come back around. And he reminded me that we saw them on the night that Freddie Mercury died.
Oh.
Yeah, because I remember we were at the show and somebody said, hey, did you hear Freddie Mercury died? And we were like, no. You know, really?
Well, I remember we played a show on the night that...
Jerry Garcia died.
But no, we were formed on the day...
Oh, the
day that Jerry Garcia died. Yeah. We played a show on the night that Princess Diana died at Fireside Bowl.
Damn, we killed two people.
Yeah. Well, I always used to joke that Jerry Garcia had to die for us to exist.
This is true.
You know, we could not exist in the same
same world.
In the same world as Jerry Garcia. So when we were born, he got forced out.
Because we were so on his radar and the rest of the world's radar.
All right, I guess that's it for us today on the Super Legend Podcast. Thank you for joining us in all our glorious nastiness. Goodbye.